The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones. But they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'Here is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the landowner of the vineyard do to these tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The gospel of the Lord. We will not say anything about what has passed in the last 24 hours. Instead, we will pursue things of God in this homily. Earlier this year, in the springtime, I was driving home, and I have to turn a corner at the corner of Prospect and Ford Road, heading south on Prospect. And as I made that turn, another car had turned in front of me and had unexpectedly kind of stopped just around the corner and kind of blocked the lane I was coming into, so I had to make a really wide cut around to avoid hitting him. And as I drove around him, I saw him getting out of the car, and then I looked again and saw that he had stopped because there was a turtle in the road trying to get across the road, and this amphibian hero was going to get that turtle out of the way at the risk of his own life and apparently mine. Okay, now, I this may seem a little bit far afield, but let us think for a moment about what we can tell about that individual that was rescuing the turtle by his actions. First, we know that he was an animal lover, right? I mean, or at least an amphibian lover. Otherwise, he would not have bothered to stop in that way and rescue the thing. Secondly, we could assume also that he might be a Buddhist or a Hindu who values all life as being sacred, and this was a religious expression of that belief. I don't think so, but it could have been. And then we could also think that maybe he was just young and foolish and his priorities were really goofed up. And that is my personal take on the matter, but we could understand all of those things from the action, the simple action that he took, turning around in that particular place and stopping. It's amazing what our actions tell other people about us. Little simple things that we might do will tell others about what kind of fruit we bear. And of course, we then dig into the scripture for today. And the scripture is really, really neatly unified in the fact that it gives us two songs and one parable about the same analogous focal point. And that is, of course, the vineyard. And I said two songs because that song in the early part of Isaiah was actually called the Song of the Vineyard. Okay, that's kind of its name in scriptural terminology. And it really sings about a prediction by, of course, Isaiah, this part of the author of Isaiah, who is predicting the fall of Jerusalem and basically laying at the footstep of those people who took this beautifully formed town that God had blessed so abundantly, given it all of the blessings that God can give it, but the people who were in Jerusalem were not bearing the kind of fruit that the Lord would have them bear. We're not grateful, we're not blessing of God, we're not following God's law, especially the law of Moses. And as a result, because they bore this, quote, wild fruit or wild grapes, the town itself was going to be eventually taken over by the Assyrians and the great diaspora, or the sending out of the people were taken into slavery and sent out. We skip ahead through the song, which kind of parallels that in the psalm, and we come to the parable that Jesus tells in the gospel according to Matthew. In Matthew, he is actually completing the song that Isaiah started, because indeed Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets when he comes, and the allusion to the law and the prophets in the song of Isaiah are fulfilled in his parable about the ungrateful tenants of the vineyard that the Lord has planted. Again, the parallel is very nicely laid out. The same beautiful care to the vineyards up front is given. I mean, the wall building around it, the wine press in the middle, the tower guarding it. All of those elements really lead us right back to Isaiah and let us know that the Lord is now taking that parable forward so that we can see how it completes. And of course, at the end of that parable, he talks about his own mission, his own salvific mission, ending in his own passion and death, as those elders and chief priests, who are the people he is addressing his parable to, basically cast him out of the vineyard and kill him. It is an amazing set of readings that we are given that kind of ask us a question. And they ask us this question: if we produce the kind of fruit that the Lord would have us produce, we have, after all, been given this wonderful church. We have been given the blessings of the wonderful nation we live in. And how do we use what we have been given by God? Is it because we have really looked to God and said, what is it that you want from me? And that should be our constant question is, Lord, today, what is it that you want from me? What fruit can I bear for you today? This is the question that the parable begs us ask ourselves. We have been given a wondrous community of faith to live in. We have examples abounding. I was at a social justice presentation this Thursday here at St. Thomas that is kind of headed up by the Lens of Faith group, which is a really neat group that is looking at a lot of different social justice issues. If you can get to those, I suggest you go. But this particular one was actually headed up by a couple of our own parishioners who are nationally known people in their fields. One, Dr. Rusty Chavey, who is really a pioneer in this holistic approach to family medicine, where it is faith-based holistics, okay? And then we had another gentleman here, Bob Muir, who is a nationally known lawyer and head of the American Freedom Foundation, which fights for protections for people who are trying to live the conscience that they have from their based on their faith in their lives, that it is being constantly attacked. It kind of became a little depressing to hear how much attack we're facing, but again, I come back to, what does God ask of us? He doesn't ask that we just sit there. He asks that we pray, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading. He asks us that we act on our convictions, which is truly the fruit we are given. So today we ask you all, and we're asked by Scripture, when we leave this place, to act out the fruit that we are given. And it must be greater than rescuing a turtle in the road. Amen.